What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. Tonight, we have a pretty jam-packed show. So much information to cover. We'll try to get through all of it within an hour to keep the show within an hour, because I'm pretty sure if we just went over everything, it would probably be like over 2 hours. And the farther we went down this rabbit hole, it would just keep going and going and going. The point of tonight's episode is a man by the name of Carl DeMaio. We're going to talk about sort of his political rise, sort of like a blip on the map, more like less than a rise. We're going to talk about his PAC, Reform California. We're going to talk about all of his different entities. We're going to get into all of that stuff. First off, disclaimer, everything we find here is public record. Everything we're talking about is public record. It is all out there. You can go find it for yourselves. Anything in terms of what we say, we might be opining on something. Don't take opinions always as fact. Do your own research. And that's basically it. That's the legal disclaimer. The attorney in me had to make sure I said that before we started this episode. Just because, for no uncertain reason. But before I get started, I definitely needed the help of my trusty co-host with this one, the best and fastest researcher in the West. Camille, how are you doing tonight?
I think I'm okay. I don't know how I feel about this episode.
There's gonna be a lot. Like, I'm looking at my tabs right now, and I have like, I feel like I have like 50 tabs open right now to go over.
Only 50.
But there's a lot to cover, and most people who probably aren't in like San Diego or Southern California really have no idea who the heck Carl DeMaio is, and they might just be like, I have no idea who the heck you're talking about, and why is this important? I talked about it beforehand in the podcast pre-show. Why is this important? We did this, you and I, actually we're kind of getting back to our roots now, which is how you and I sort of met, which is looking at all this stuff, researching, going to the Secretary of State, looking at finances, asking questions, and then just kind of putting that information out there. Correct. So this is kind of us getting back to our roots of really what we've been doing.
We're just
going to burn it all down again. But this stuff is important, I think, because if you're not paying attention to what your politicians are saying, or not even just politicians, there's people in movements who take advantage. There are people who will see an opportunity and they will jump at it. I'm not saying this is necessarily Carl DeMaio. I'm leaving that up for you to for people to decide. People we've looked at in the past, we've definitely figured out that they are taking the opportunity. And it's good for people to understand this and know that they can, it's only a couple clicks away that you can figure this stuff out for yourself and maybe just raise some red flags and go, huh, that's weird. Why is he not spending money there? Why are they not spending money on this? And boy, they took in a lot of money, and boy, it looks like they didn't really spend a lot of money on what they were supposed to. So if you're not in San Diego and you have no idea who the heck Carl DeMaio is, well, stick around. At least use this as like a cautionary tale of someone to look out for in California, because California is a big state and there's a lot of people. So where should we start with Carl DeMaio?
I suppose we should just go back to the beginning, which is 1974 when he was born.
That's really far back in the beginning.
No, you want to go? Okay.
I don't want to go that far. I don't want to go that far back.
Tell us who Carl is. Who is Carl? What does he do?
All right. So let's give a little bit of background about Carl.
I'm in Orange County, so you know.
If you're right, if we were at a cocktail party and you were like, "Who's Carl DeMaio? What does he do?" Right now, he's a radio host, Kogo Radio. He has a PAC called Reform California. He also has two entities, Capital Media and Transparency Foundation. Although Capital Media, you can't say is actually his because he doesn't technically own it. We'll get into that whole fact. But he is the chairman, allegedly, he owns Capital Media. But he is the chairman of this PAC called Reform California. Reform California has been on the forefront of a lot of these initiatives that he says that was part of organizing. He's basically, I guess you could say, he's an activist at this point. He's not really a politician anymore. He was a politician. We can go back to the early beginning when he first moved out to San Diego. He spent some time in DC. He started these companies, not really of really great importance. He sold those companies and then moved out to San Diego. His first foray into San Diego politics was he was elected in 2008 to be a city council member. So in San Diego City Council, that's 2008 to 2012. Now looking at his Wikipedia page, there's so much folks that we're trying to like narrow in on. I don't want to like just kind of sit here and read off of everything. Mm-hmm. But there is an article I did want to bring up really quickly. Hold on, because I have a crap ton of. Okay. So during his time as San Diego City Council member, this is from the Times of San Diego. Quote, in his limited time serving on the San Diego City Council, DeMaio was a whirlwind of scandal and corruption, from being fined by the San Diego Ethics Commission for improperly soliciting donations from city employees to funneling over $15,000 in campaign funds to a loved one to multiple cases of full-fledged plagiarism. Washington-based Andy Orellano. Sorry, my dog is really upset today. She's upset about Carl DeMaio as well.
Yes.
Washington-based Andy Orellano, the group's West Coast press secretary, said Thursday, what we already know about Carl DeMaio makes you wonder what we are still yet to find out. But while DeMaio is lacking in self-awareness, he's flush with chutzpah to run a campaign against corruption with a record like this. Well, it takes a special kind of courage. And this was Dave McCullough. They talk about in this article. Keep note of that name, who Dave McCullough is, because he's going to come back.
Taking shots every time we hear that name.
No, because we won't be able to finish the podcast out of sheer inebriation.
All right.
So in 2008, DeMaio agreed to pay $1,500 City Ethics Commission fine for indirectly soliciting campaign contribution from city employees in violation of the municipal code as a city council candidate. In 2010, DeMaio paid Hale Media Incorporated, keep that name also in your mind, owned by his boyfriend, Jonathan Hale, $16,000 They are now married, owned by his now husband, Jonathan Hale, $16,000 for signature gathering, but it didn't list it in campaign disclosures. Taxpayers advocate Richard Ryder didn't see a problem with the $16,000 payment. The inference is that Hale pocketed the $16,000, but that's not what the facts indicate at this point. And in 2012, a long profile of DeMaio suggested that he plagiarized the website of a rival Washington consultant. So, already off the bat, he is just doing a bang up job in San Diego City Council right off the bat. Any thoughts on this so far?
I sent you something about he wanted to get rid of the ethics committee. Did you? I don't know if you saw that video. Was that before or after they researched it?
I don't know. Is that part of the mounds of links that we've been kind of going through for this entire thing?
That's why I probably said only 50, because I feel like you probably had to narrow it down from 150. And so there, somebody keeps questioning him and he refuses to answer, but I am not exactly clear on the date. And they keep saying, why do you want to get rid of the San Diego Ethics Committee? And so now I'm wondering if that was before or after they looked into him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know.
I didn't see that one. Again, we are dealing with a bunch of stuff that was coming through. We were sending a bunch of links back and forth.
Links it like an hour ago.
There's like so much. And at a certain point, we were just like, ooh, we can't keep going down this rabbit hole. It's just going to keep getting deeper and deeper. Also, finally, DeMaio declined to take a 6% city pay cut in 2009 at the same time other council members were, but it was reported that he reduced his own compensation by 30% by rejecting the car allowance and the city's pension.
Okay. Now, do you know why they were taking a pay cut? I know that's not the issue here. I was just curious what was going on.
Do you know why they took the pay cut?
No, I don't.
I thought maybe it was just, 2009. I'm going to guess it had something to do with the Great Recession.
Right.
Yeah. It was
after that would be my guess, but okay.
they're probably taking in less tax revenue, so I would imagine the city probably had to cut somewhere, so they probably all took a 6% pay cut. Yeah. So city council done. Now let's move on to his next gig, which was, and I'm trying to find, I gotta like organize these a little bit better. Next was he ran for mayor in 2012. How do you think Carl DeMaio did in 2012 running for mayor?
I don't think he's been elected since city council, so I don't think he did very well.
Well, he lost. He was a candidate in 2012 San Diego mayoral race to earn a spot on the November 6, 2012 ballot. DeMaio had to survive a primary on the June 5th, 2012 ballot. Five candidates completed that primary. Only the top two vote-getters, DeMaio and Bob Filner, moved on to the final contest on November 6th. The five candidates and the number of votes that were received, blah, blah, blah. So he did move on. He at least made it past the primary. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know anything about San Diego politics, Bob Filner was later, he left because of sexual harassment. Yes, it does seem like there's a pattern with San Diego politicians and sexual harassment. Looking at you, Nathan Fletcher. Yeah, it's just San Diego politicians. Something in the water down here in San Diego that our politicians just can't help with sexual harassment. So, I mean, good on him. He did make it past the primary.
Yeah, that is an accomplishment for sure.
Out of all the people. In fact, he is actually in the primary. He was the top vote getter.
Okay.
So to give him credit, he got 75,508. Bob Filner got 73,209. Do you want to know who was in third place?
Was Fletcher in that race?
Fletcher was in that race. He got 57,000 votes. It all comes full circle.
Was he in third place? Was Fletcher third place?
He was third place.
Round of applause sound effect? I
don't even want to give Fletcher a round of applause. All right. So after that failed race, not to be outdone, he decided he was going to move on to Congress.
Congress. Okay.
In 2014, he moved on to Congress, and he battled against Scott Peters for the 52nd congressional district. It was a battleground district in 2014 due to the low margin of victory for Democrats in the last election and two presidential elections. Scott Peters, and once again, Carl DeMaio, we got to give credit where credit is due. He did make it past the primary. He beat out Kirk Jorgensen and Fred Simon, other two Republicans, to make it to the actual general election.
Okay.
However, how do you think this election went out?
I'm going to go with he lost.
He did. He lost. Scott Peters, who is, I believe, still the congressman down here, he won 51.6 to 48.4. So Carl DeMaio,
that's close.
That's very close. It was a battleground state, so or a battleground district, so it was very close. It was a margin of a little over about 6,000 votes. So
yeah, that's really
in a
close.
Congressional district, that's actually pretty close. So again, credit where credit is due, Carl DeMaio. Did make it close in two races. So he's now, what is that, 1 out of 3 races. Mm-hmm. He's so far won. Again, Carl DeMaio, as ambitious as he is, decided that wasn't enough for him. He wanted to dip his toes right back in the water, and he was going to run again. This time, he decided he was going to run for California's 50th congressional district. And this was 2 years ago in 2020.
Now, was it the same district basically with redistricting or no, they didn't redistrict till last year?
Yeah, I don't think so because, well, it depends on where Scott Peters is now. But that's not really the point because I think this district is a lot more conservative. It's a lot more red. Okay. So I don't think it's the same because that was more of a battleground district. So how do you think Carl DeMaio did in this race?
I'm going to go with Carl DeMaio did not get very far in this race.
He did not. In fact, this time he did not make it out of the primary.
Yeah.
So in terms of performance, he was regressing backwards. He was not making up any ground. And you would think with all this name recognition, you'd think he'd start to pick up some votes, but he was actually regressing backwards. He lost to Daryl Issa, who is now the current congressman of that district, and Amar Kampa Najara, perennial congressional candidate, he just seems to run wherever they need a Democrat. They're like, Amar, we need you to run for mayor of Chula Vista. Go do that. He's also is he still the boyfriend of Sarah Jacobs? Do we know that?
I thought she got married, but am I wrong?
Did she get married to him?
Well, I don't, actually, maybe.
I don't know. Does anyone in the chat?
Anyone in the chat know?
Does anybody in the chat know what's going on with, what's going on with
him? Our producer, go find out.
Amar Kampa Najara. We'll come back to that. Not really the point of today's episode, but still interesting.
Yeah, so, we got to fact check ourselves.
So that's basically Carl DeMille's political career up until now. Now, he's not done. But he is setting his sights a little bit more local. Carl DeMille is now running for Central Committee of the San Diego Republican Party. So when you're on Central Committee, you have a lot of say over the party platform, about endorsing candidates.
Is it he already pulling all the strings there anyway?
We'll get to that. Yeah, might be the man behind the curtain right now, but I think he wants to step out from behind the curtain and make it a little bit more formalized.
Okay.
So he's running for 2024 for Central Committee. And we'll get to that and what he's doing right now that makes it a little bit more, how we should say, bait and switch. But we'll get to that. So he's running for that. It's going to be a little bit smaller. In the meantime, Carl DeMille has gone on to host a drive time show down here in San Diego on Kogo Radio. He has the drive time slot between 3 and 6. And he will electrify you with about 5 minutes of commentary before he goes to a commercial for about 7 minutes and then come back for about 3 minutes of more electrifying commentary and then go back to commercial for another 10 minutes. So very electrifying. If you want to listen into him, Kogo Radio and iHeartRadio, go check him out between 3 and 6. You'll get about 50 minutes of commercials every hour and about 10 minutes of talking. Not to rag on radio people. They do a wonderful job. So he's been on Kogo Radio this whole time. He's also started this Reform California. Now, I think that's where the next part of this episode is going to go, because it gets really deep.
Yeah, it gets interesting.
It gets really interesting. Forewarning to everybody who's listening. Reform California is sort of the sun in Carl DeMille's political solar system, whereby everything revolves around Reform California. And it gets really, really interesting how many strings, it's kind of like a big spider's web and how much it reaches out into everything. So he has this radio show. He's got people's ears. People know he runs this Reform California. He's very well known in the county, obviously, from running several failed races. I mean, he was elected once. Several failed races. And now he's got this PAC that is doing enormously well. State PAC. I do want to read a little bit from this Voice of San Diego. And believe me, this might be the longest show notes in our, like, this podcast show's history, because we're just going to throw all the links and resources and everything we've sourced into the show notes. So if you don't believe us and think we're just making this up, you can go read all this stuff for yourselves. This is Voice of San Diego. The title is, it's a Promote Carl organization, The Rise of Reform California. Yes, you can see that's our shared note that Camille and I work off of every week to kind of like create the show map. And you can see just the list of it. This might be the longest amount of links.
That's just the links. Like, there's also just documents that we had to send each other too.
That's why I said there might actually have to be a follow-up episode on this. This is the tip of the iceberg. He started this. So it was started as Reform San Diego. and then it moved into Reform California. I actually remember when it was Reform San Diego, and then it became Reform California.
It started as, sorry, not to correct you, but it started as San Diego Citizens for Accountable Government.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going off the picture I sent you, but it's like starting with the most recent.
Okay. So it started as the citizens.
The San Diego Citizens for Accountable Government. So I think it may have started as a like a city local PAC and then kind of expanded.
Oh, we have an answer on the Amar question from the chat.
I figured we.
The answer is yes, they are still dating. So everyone can take a deep breath. Amar and Sarah Jacobs are still dating.
See, we're already all over the place.
we're trying to keep this train is very close to getting off the tracks, and I'm doing my best to keep it on the tracks.
So I just so much to cover. To go back, I think this was around 2013, 2014, maybe San Diego Citizens for Accountable Government. I should look that up too, but.
Okay. Just to clarify. And then it turned into Reform San Diego, correct?
It then became Reforming City Hall with Carl DeMaio, then Reform San Diego with Carl DeMaio, then simply Reform San Diego. Reform San Diego with Carl DeMaio again, Reform San Diego, Reform California, yes, on 6, and now it is currently Reform California. Now, that's not, just to clarify, that's not a bad thing. Like, I don't want anyone thinking that, like, if you're going after a certain thing, the name change does make sense.
Right.
And then you have to file amendments if your PAC changes from city or county to state. Like, there's all these legal things there. And so it's now a state PAC, and he's had to amend that, and he has.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good thing to clarify. It's not, like, nefarious if you're changing the name of a PAC. A lot of people do, because if the cause that they were going for ended, or, like, it was an initiative, and you'll see that a lot with, like, general purpose PACs, where they're like, they were started for one initiative and then that initiative ended. So they're like, okay, we're just going to rename it and move on to the next initiative, which is very common. So, like, I think, if someone wants to correct me in the chat, like, I think the recall group changed their name to something else because there's no longer a recall, but they're now something else. So I think that doesn't mean they're trying to be, like, nefarious or shady. It just means that they kept changing names, to keep up with what their purpose is. It wouldn't make sense to keep calling something like the recall recall Gavin Newsom if there's no recall for Gavin Newsom.
Like, in 26 to recall him.
People will be like, I don't think there's a recall going on, but we're still going to keep at it.
Okay.
So anyway, this article, and I would highly suggest people check this article out. Again, it's going to be in the show notes. I'll make sure to detail all the show notes when they come out. Reform California is a general purpose political committee, meaning it doesn't exist simply to oppose or support a single candidate or ballot measure. The group raises and spends money on multiple issues at a time. DeMaio has a knack for guiding it to the issues at the center of the state's conservative movement. As the gas tax repeal heated up and made the ballot as 2018's Prop 6, the idea wasn't just that Republicans could defeat the tax increase, but that doing so would galvanize voters and be the rising tide to lift all the other Republican votes on the ballot. It didn't work out like that. Voters shut down the referendum, and Republicans across the state lost once safe seats. But when the year ended, DeMaio's group had put itself in a strong financial footing. It ended the year with $405 in the bank. So this was one of those things we were talking about earlier, a couple hours ago, is Carl DeMaio and Reform California put themselves out there as if they were part of, or at least the spearhead of, this gas tax repeal. Mm-hmm. They were not.
No.
It was not his initiative. It was not something he started. It's not something that he was behind. It's not like he gathered all of the signatures. It wasn't like he got all the volunteers for Prop 6. But if you go to different parts of his website for Reform California, there's pictures of him with signs behind him showing yes on 6. He's, like, got a bus and everything. So that's one thing right off the bat that you can see. There's a little bit of opportunism there when it comes to Carl DeMaio. This was a big issue, the gas tax repeal. It was probably the most contentious vote at that time. he kind of piggybacked off of that with Reform California, made it sound like he had a lot to do with it. And when he went from, I don't know, it was, looked like $26,000 in the bank to 2 years later to $405,000 in the bank, that seems like it was a pretty lucrative piggyback ride. Correct?
Yeah, that's, I mean, as we have a pack, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Did we find out who actually started Prop 6?
No.
No, but it wasn't Carl DeMaio. We know that for sure.
Right.
Right.
Nor was he the primary funder of it.
No, and you had sent me stuff.
When you went through the funding of it.
Yeah, do you want to go into like the funding? You sent it to me like an hour ago about how much was raised and how much he actually spent for Prop 6.
Well, what I saw was Reform California donated $10,000. But then when I started going through his finances for, this is for 2017 to 2018 financials, there was definitely a lot. He spent a lot of money that year for those 2 years. Mm. There was definitely a lot of money spent on mailers and postage. I think even people, possibly signature collecting and stuff. So I was confused about that, which I think I said that specifically to you going back, because I said, like, I'm actually confused because looking at Reform California, that same time period, which then I sent you a link of the disbursements, there was a lot of outgoing money. For it, the payee was the gas tax repeal. And so I don't know if there was two different funds. That's where it gets confusing.
Yeah, gas
tax. Sorry, I don't want to sound like an idiot on here, but there is a lot going on.
Right.
That's the last link I sent you on text.
Got it. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. A lot of gas tax repeal.
yeah. Sorry to everybody. We literally, this was a 7 exactly at 7 p.m. like an hour before the show, as I'm trying to do makeup and he's trying to eat, and I'm like sending him like, look at this.
So this gas tax repeal, was this the actual group gas tax repeal?
Don't know that for a fact.
Okay, so he may have spent a lot of money on it, but as we don't know who this gas tax repeal necessarily is, but he did spend a lot of money on it, it looks like.
It looks like.
Mm-hmm. It looks like. But in the end, he wasn't the person behind. It wasn't his ballot initiative.
No. Right.
So,
have a ballot initiative?
He says they've backed a whole bunch of anti-tax initiatives on his site. He said like over, what does it say, like 300 or something?
I mean, there's a new one every day.
300 tax hike proposal has defeated over 300 tax hike proposals on the ballot, saving Californians over $32 billion. He doesn't list what those 300 tax hike proposals were and how specifically Reform California actually defeated them. He did talk about the successful because in 2018, Reform California collected over 1 million signatures to qualify Prop 6, the gas tax repeal initiative. In 2022, collected over 1.4 million signatures to qualify the California Taxpayer Protection Act. But he does not say how he beat 300 tax hike proposals on the ballot, saving $32 billion. I would feel like if you had the evidence that you actually did that, you'd be able to show that. But anyway, moving back to this article, because there is a lot of stuff in this article I want to get to, because there's other stuff that they talk about. Someone says, quote, the thing about the gas tax is it wasn't supposed to win. It was supposed to carry people with it, said Ann Dunsmore, a longtime Republican political operative and campaign manager for Rescue California, one of the groups leading the effort to recall Gavin Newsom. It didn't win, and we lost a lot of seats. I think that was the beginning of the end of his credibility. But it wasn't, because Reform California continued to get more bigger and bigger and rake in more and more donations. Up and down the state, conservative operatives are complaining that DeMaio is sucking up resources intended to remove Newsom to promote himself instead. You see this pattern, quote, this is a quote, you see all this pattern over a 6-year period where he makes all these promises and it ends up in the campaign not using all the money. He has a profit and moves on to the next campaign. Jim Lacey, a lawyer whose firm focuses on election and nonprofit law. He was a California delegate to the Republican National Conventions of 90s. Who cares? That was Yes on 6, which lost, and the funds he didn't spend could have been precious help to pass the initiative. DeMaio and Reform California's unofficial involvement in the recall comes fresh off a cycle in which his conservative critics thought they saw that 2018 dynamic play out again. I'm trying to get to the quote about recall. That's not what I'm looking for. As Lacey suggests, Reform California is operating legally. Its official documents make clear that its donors are contributing to any of the causes it adopts, and its website runs a tally of the active campaigns, whether recalling Newsom, recalling a school board member, or pursuing election integrity. This is a long article, so I apologize. I probably should have taken this out and highlighted. Here we go. But the chief proponents, and this is going into the recall. So this was another thing. There was the gas tax, and then there was the recall, which are two things that Reform California raised a ton of money on. There were a lot of mailers. There was a lot of text messages that basically said Reform California had a bigger role, or at least led people to believe they had a bigger role in these things, especially the recall initiative, which I know left the actual guys, Orrin Hetly and Mike Netter, a little perturbed about it. And the article says, but the chief proponents, Orrin and Mike of recall, Gavin Newsom, said they received very little help from Reform California's $100,000 in spending. Quote, we really don't know what their motivation is, and we don't know what they're spending donations on or to the degree of assistance they may feel they've given the recall itself. But in reality, if that money had come to the recall 2020 team, we could have utilized it to a specific purpose to greatly benefit the recall. My thought is the money is going to outside organizations or efforts that are not directly involved in the actual recall, that it diverts money away from the campaign into their own personal interest. The recall campaign used a normal letter, blah, blah, blah. Reform circulated their own PDF. Netter said they received about 700 signatures from Reform California, 700 signatures they ended up not submitting at all because they believed the address change on the Reform California petitions would lead the Secretary of State to invalidate the signatures. Our mailroom still has them, Hetly said. He provided no signatures officially. So, just a little snapshot of sort of the stuff that he kind of piggybacks off of, which is sort of the MO of Reform California, is that if there's a cause, and this is what this article is really saying, is if there's a cause that's sort of the hot button issue in California politics, you can bet Reform California is going to jump on it and act as if they are central to this whole purpose. What are your thoughts?
It reminds me of clickbait. He often introduces new initiatives and it's all the same pack, and that's fine. But it's like any little thing that's kind of current, he suddenly has a website for, it's on Reform California. And it's just like, if you don't want this, or let's fight this. And there's, you go to his page and it's just, like I said, it's just clickbait to me. There's so much to emotionally pull you in. I did read that article that you just read, but I've also spoken to several people. You know, you and I have been talking to people for probably 2 or 3 months about this episode and this issue. And a lot of people who are in San Diego and were firsthand working the recall have said to both of us, he didn't put the money where he said it was going. The money never went to the recall, or only a small fraction of it went to the recall.
Yeah.
And so this isn't even like we're hearing this one's, you know, two people in this article, but I've heard this now from so many people in San Diego. And I'm sure you living down there have too.
Oh, yeah. I've heard plenty of people who feel like they put in, or they feel like he's supposed to help out a lot, but a lot of people don't necessarily see a lot of help from him. But they know he raises a ton of money, which if you look at his filings, yeah, he does raise a ton of money. And we'll get to that in a second about this last cycle and how much money he raised and how little he actually spent. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and this was in the 2019-2020 cycle. And there are like individual candidates on here. But right. When you look at it, they're not big expenditures, right? Like they're $216 for Melanie Burkhold.
So like a cake.
Yeah, like it's these smaller amounts. I'm not really sure what they're all. Paula Witzel, who is now the chair of the San Diego Republican Party, $216. And you can just keep kind of going down, seeing. I'm trying to look at. He supported some other things. Prop 20, he's supported by spending $87. I don't know how much. Measure A, he spent $79.99.
Okay.
Also, I'm not sure, is this the 2019-2020? Would that be the year? No, yeah. 2019-2020, or was it 2021 was the recall?
Well, we were hyping up the recall in 2020.
Right.
And 2019 as well. And then it became official, of course, with the signatures in the spring of 2021.
Right. Okay. So he did give money to recall Gavin Newsom, $60,000. Reform Local Government PAC, he gave $45,000.
I don't know what now, that is.
I believe Reform Local Government PAC is one of his PACs.
Is that a federal PAC or a state PAC?
I think it's local PAC, or it's a state PAC. Because I did look at one of his emails and it did bring up Reform Local Government PAC.
Should have found that one. Huh.
$45,000. And we'll get into this a little bit because I want to show, we can pull this up onto the screen and show exactly how much he spent.
See, we haven't even gotten into the federal PACs yet.
Yeah, there's federal PACs. So it gets a little even more crazy. He did give a lot to recall Gavin Newsom, but like the article said, $100,000, he's not really sure where it went or how it helped. So if the people who were behind the recall and were really the heads of the recall said he supposedly donated $100,000 to this recall Gavin Newsom effort, but we never really understood where it went, then did he really actually support the recall? It becomes a bigger question. Where did that money go if he's trying to recall Gavin Newsom? Why wouldn't you give it to the organization that is fighting to recall Gavin Newsom? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
I'm just trying to look at a whole bunch of other things. Anyway, we can spend all night going over all these financials. Let's see. But the bigger thing about recall or Reform California that we want to get into, and actually this might be a good time to bring it up. Let me check my show notes because we have a flow to this show. Believe it or not, folks, we do have a flow.
We did.
To this show. We did. We had an idealistic idea. I want to talk about, let's see, 2021. Let's go with general information. And I want to pull this up to see so people can see it for themselves. Because I want people to see the number themselves so they don't think that I'm actually, that I'm necessarily making this up. This is the information from 2021 to 2022. If you look down here, it shows total contributions, total expenditures. Contributions was 1.1. Contributions from this period, 153. And 149. Expenditures from this period, 140.
So there was total contributions from 2022.
From this period. And then, so he ended the whole cycle with $1 million on hand. Now, why is that in my mind significant if it doesn't look like total expenditures $149? Why does this seem significant to me if you're looking at this and go, What's significant about why he has $1 million left on hand after 2021 and 2022? 2022 was a midterm election year where we were supposed to have a red wave tsunami of Republicans. And most organizations, even the California GOP and the California Democratic Party, basically went all out during midterm elections, spent basically everything they had during midterm elections, and ended with maybe $200,000 left in the bank. If that, maybe a little less. But to end a midterm election cycle with $1 million left in the bank suggests that you're not spending as much as you possibly can to help Republicans win those seats. Mm-hmm. And that is a little shocking.
$1 million could have really influenced 2 to 3 seats, and we needed 3 seats.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, and not only that, even as a state PAC, how much could $1 million help a lot of assembly races or state races?
That's what I'm saying. Like it could have been extremely influential in 2 to 3 seats.
And it's not like he doesn't have the wherewithal to raise that money again, exactly. Because he's shown.
Yes, he has proven that he can raise money over the years.
Right. And it just comes off to me in a midterm election year, it comes off very odd that someone would have that much money left on hand and not be spending every single, if it was really important to fight, because that's what a PAC is for. Your whole reason for having a PAC is to help in these political races and these political causes. If you had the wind at your back, and this was supposed to be the big change midterms that everyone was expecting, it was going to be a huge red wave, and instead we were kind of waiting until the last minute to figure out whether California pulled through with congressional seats to even win the House, you would think that sentiment, you would ride that and say, okay, we can get a lot more people elected, we can get a lot more initiatives passed. And this is it. This is what you create a PAC for. You create a PAC for this one reason, which is to make a big difference. And to sit on and end up with $1 million is, I don't know, it's kind of crazy to me to think. And if you look at, you can look at the expenditures that were made. And now we can get into the nitty gritty. And this will lead into our next point, which is, let me pull the screen up again.
Okay, while you pull the screen up, I'm going to plug our PAC. Cal Publican could use $1 million. So if anyone's listening, we will absolutely put that towards flipping seats in California. If you want to send us $1 million.
We will not sit on it.
We will not sit.
So this is the expenditures. I don't know if people can see this.
I want to zoom in a little bit. I don't know how big it is for everyone else.
Can I zoom in a little bit? View. How do I zoom in? There we go. I don't know how to do this on the screen.
You don't? Are you using a Mac? Command Plus.
There we go.
Okay.
So, Capital Media.
Capital Media.
Capital Media. Who is Capital Media? That becomes the question.
That is honestly the question I still have after hours and weeks of research. I still don't know who Capital Media is. Do you?
Well, I believe, and this is, I think this is the site, they win the toughest fights.
Oh.
See, they have a picture of a guy with wrapped up hands to show that they win the toughest fights. And the tape is red because I'm conservative.
Yeah. I'm going to finally sleep tonight.
Now you know exactly what they do. In fact, they develop, I'm gonna do you one better. They develop creative, comprehensive solutions for campaign management, crisis communications, fundraising, digital strategy, data, micro-targeting, and grassroots activation. So,
in English?
That's exactly. We supposedly run your campaign for you and your digital marketing.
Okay.
We're a team of national communications, fundraising, campaign, and full service digital fighters. We provide
don't they have
strategic
employees.
Don't they have employees?
Six
employees. Yeah, but maybe they're spread out all over the place. Maybe one employee is in different spots.
Like regions.
Yes.
And like, okay, I'm saying six employees because I looked up their PPP loan forgiveness and it showed that they have six employees. That's where I'm getting that number from, to clarify.
Right. You looked that up. How much did they get in PPP loans?
$49,000 for payroll. Okay. And it showed they have six employees.
So this is it. This is basically the whole site. And their featured clients are the Performance Institute, which is the company that he sold. Oh, look, Reform California.
No.
Carl DeMaio for Congress. Oh. Yes on Six. So those are their big clients. It looks like a third of them are associated with Carl DeMaio.
Okay.
They have offices. They're nationwide, but their offices are only in San Diego, LA, and not Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. is far from here.
That could be national, correct.
And, you know, they probably have two people at each office, so.
So that's it for, like, the site. Like, it doesn't tell you who actually works there. But you did research. Who owns Capital Media?
David McCullough. Is that how you say his last name?
David McCullough. And David McCullough was the spokesman for Carl DeMaio several years ago. Now, I think this is the correct. I'm pulling up the board. Now, this is another foundation. This is Carl DeMaio's nonprofit.
This is my
Transparency
favorite.
The Transparency Foundation.
I'm not sure.
I don't know what the Transparency Foundation does. Are they supposed to be? What are they providing that is transparency?
They're informing, empowering, and advocating for the transparency, the making public institutions more transparent and accountable to the people they serve.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what they, I don't know really what else to do.
It's a nonprofit and they're fairly new, so there's not any financials available yet. I always look at nonprofit financials. Those are super.
So we have Carl DeMaio's chairman, CEO. Nothing wrong there. You can be the chairman of a PAC and the chairman of a nonprofit. Nothing wrong there. Dave McCullough, who is the owner of Capital Media. Because remember, Carl is not the owner of Capital Media. But Dave McCullough is the owner of Capital Media. Then we have Jordan Gurnett, Dylan Martin. These names will start to look familiar after a while. Now, if we go over to Reform California, here's Carl with his Yes on Six.
These pictures, I only saw the top and they look the same. Sorry, not trying to ruin your surprise there, your big moment.
Oh, here it is. I went up when I was supposed to go down. Oh, look at that.
Oh my gosh, is it like a copy and paste?
It almost looks like a copy and paste. I would say they didn't even change the style of how they were doing their boards.
Great.
It's almost like they said, hey, we love this style. Let's just keep this style.
Like, and guess who knows.
Again, there's nothing wrong with necessarily being involved with a nonprofit and a PAC. There are a lot of nonprofit. What's that?
I said, are we starting a nonprofit?
We're not starting a nonprofit. That's not what I'm trying to say. There are a lot of nonprofits that start PACs because they want to have like a political action wing of what the nonprofits do. But David McCullough is the president of Reform California. So David McCullough is the president of Reform California. He's also the owner of Capital Media. Are we starting to see a little bit of a trend
this
here?
This is going.
Let's see. And then we have Dylan
Martin.
This just
got really interesting.
Jordan Gurnett, Dylan Martin. Yeah, it's all the same people all over again. All right, let's go back That's not what I was looking for.
Okay, so Reform California.
So back to this past cycle. If you look at expenditures, Capital Media, $50,000.
You can just search it by page real quick.
Well, I want to go to, I like doing by amount. So I can.
Okay.
Reform Local Government PAC, which I still believe is Carl DeMaio's PAC, $45,000. So moving money around. City cards,
look that up.
Which I looked up These are basically a lot of text messaging and digital advertising. So if you signed up for anything Reform California related, you get 1,000 text messages and emails. Mm-hmm. Capital Media, $29,000. Capital Media. Capital Media.
But Capital for what? Media. What is he getting? The people listening and not seeing, what is he paying Capital Media for?
This one he's paying for email marketing.
Okay.
This one is C Schedule G for pays reaching. You'd have to pull up their.
This is campaign consultants.
Campaign management, $25,000. Capital Media, C Schedule G for disclosure. Capital Media, campaign management. Let's see. Independent expenditure, Capital Media. Capital Media, independent expenditure. More city cards, which you have to go through their filings and see what they're spending on. Probably more digital marketing and advertising. Also, so far, you're not really seeing a lot of expenditures outside of just Capital Media at this point, right? It's basically all Capital Media.
Mm-hmm. And those are some chunks of money there.
Those are some big chunks of money.
$20,000, $18,000, $20,000. That adds
up. So it does add up. So the thing about this, why is this a big issue? Capital Media is a private company, which means they don't have to disclose. I'm going to pull this away for a second. They don't have to disclose what their money is going to, right? Mm-hmm. So Reform California takes in the money. And they take in the money and they shovel it off to Capital Media Incorporated. Mm-hmm. To do what? We don't know, because there's not really anything they have to file or anything we know about Capital Media. Mm-hmm. You said you did a little research in terms of Capital Media, like who's used Capital Media or paid Capital Media, correct?
Right.
And what did you find out?
The majority of payments that Capital Media receives is the San Diego Republican Party and Reform California. There is a small handful of other candidates who have spent small amounts to Capital Media here and there, sprinkled throughout, but the big majority of Capital Media payments are the Republican Party of San Diego, and then anything Carl DeMaio, his PAC. And the same is on the federal website, the FEC website as well. Which again, we haven't even gotten into the FEC. I don't know if we're going to have time, but and I want to point out something that there is. I want to make sure I get this correct. There is, if you're going to look this up for yourself, people listening.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm catching up on all the chats because I've been so busy looking at the web pages.
Man, I don't even remember it. Oh, there. Okay, so there's Capital Media Inc. Incorporated, which is current and started in June of 2019. That's current. There is Capital Media Partners DC LLC, which is also David McCulloch, but it is he dissolved it in 2022, incorporated it in 2017. So he ran that one for, I don't know why the name change. I'm not saying there's something there. I'm curious, but it's not even a name change. He just dissolved the company, but then started Capital Media Incorporated. There is now, this is Capital with an OL, because there is a Capital with an AL out there that is no longer existent. And that was Richard Grinnell had that for a short time. So it does get very confusing if you start looking into all that. I want to clarify, there's three different companies. Two of them are David's company that is being paid primarily by Reform California.
So David McCulloch is sort of all at the center of this.
Yes.
He would be the ringleader in the circus, like standing in the middle of all the three ring circus.
Sure.
That's one way to put it. I'm trying to pull up Follow the Money, but for some reason they're not working right now. What I'm trying to show, if I could, and I probably should have got this ready beforehand, but we were talking about this before, that there's a lot of stuff that, like, because it doesn't, you don't see a lot of where the money is going to, in terms of like who's paying Capital Media, because you can look up like payees of mm-hmm. who's receiving money just by a quick search, and you can look up like Capital Media. And you said you didn't see a lot of candidates necessarily, like it wasn't a lot of candidates, and that's their whole thing mm-hmm. is their campaign management and their candidate research. But if you looked up something like Arsenal Media, you would probably see hundreds of candidates who are using, or Arsenal Media is a payee. And if you don't know what Arsenal Media is, Arsenal Media is a group that does all those walking through a neighborhood tough commercials or ads. You know, you've seen Kim Klasick, the Joe Collins ads where they're walking through their neighborhood and they're like, hey, I care about this neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Lauren Boebert was another person of Arsenal Media. They charge a pretty penny, but their stuff works, so that's probably why people pay. Somebody asked in the chat, wonder if those city card payments were for software or to a media company providing for, quote, tech services. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I looked up in Schedule C, a lot of what those city card payments were for were texts and digital marketing. So I don't know why Follow the Money's not working right now. And it's really frustrating me. But anyway, so we're starting to see how Reform California is really at the center of all of this, in terms of how much they're making, how much they're bringing in, and how little they're really kind of spending on terms of what the goal of Reform California is. One thing I did want to bring up, and let me see if I can pull this up right away. Remember, let's go back to what Carl is running for now. Mm-hmm. If we go all the way back at the beginning of the show, Carl DeMaio is running for Central Committee.
Yes.
Let me pull this up again. So I do subscribe to Carl DeMaio's emails because I like to see what he's asking for, because I'm interested in following what his Reform California is doing. There is an email, and I'm not going to show you the email because it'll have my personal information. I don't want all you guys blasting my personal information. If you want to email californiaunderground@protonmail.com, you can go there and email your heart out. If you go there, there is a specific email that just went out quite literally yesterday that said, hey, there's a flood of Democratic cash and we need to fight it. I need you to help. I need you to help me fight back, and we need to fight back against the Democrats. In fact, actually, let me just pull it up and read it, because I can pull it up and read it. Hold, please. Holding. I want to give a shout out to the chat right now, because it's going absolutely bonkers and people are loving this stuff.
Oh, that's always fun.
It says, we've got a big problem on our hands. Last Thursday, the House Democrat Super PAC announced it will flood California with $35 million to begin campaigns on the ground this year to flip 5 House seats currently held by California Republicans. While $35 million is a lot of money, in 2022, we overcame the Democrats' financial blah, blah, blah. Since the Democrats are making an early play for California seats, we must respond in kind by immediately mobilizing our local county Republican Party committees and groups to start talking to swing voters. We cannot mobilize this effort alone. We need your help in the fight. Would you contribute securely? Win seats in 2024. What does that sound like he's trying to do?
Win seats in 2024.
But what seats?
I'm shrugging my shoulders.
So if you click on the link that says contribute securely, you see this nice little graphic, Carl DeMaio, Reform California. Reform California is the name of his PAC, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. Also, that's the picture that we see. Yeah.
I want to go back to this. Hold on. I believe if it says, I want to make sure I get this right because I don't want to get this wrong. God forbid. It signs off Honorable Carl. First off, just stop it with the Honorable Carl DeMaio. You haven't been elected to office in over 10 years. You don't need to be called honorable anymore.
He identifies as honorable.
If you identify. Honorable Carl DeMaio, chairman of Reform California. So he's admitting in his email that he's the chairman of Reform California. They are intertwined. Mm-hmm. When you click on it, you get this message that says, hey, do you want to donate? Contribute to fight to take back California. 100 stay right here in California. Plus, we use our monthly fundraising reports to seek matching funds from national donors to help the fight here in California. Join the fight.
Who? I'm not making a joke. I'm sorry, but as much as I've combed over the financials, who's the matching donors? Because I haven't seen that.
He never tells you who the matching donors are.
Okay. I'm going to have to look into that one.
And it's important to note that there are campaign limits on how much you can spend. So you can't match every donation, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So there right. are limits on how much you can actually match. Join the fight to take back California. Contribute whatever you can today. So at this point, if you were someone who has been following Carl DeMaio, you love Carl DeMaio, and you go, I know he's, in your mind and in your opinion, you think he's doing a great job fighting the good fight. You look at this, you see Carl DeMaio, Reform California. The email says the Honorable Carl DeMaio, Chairman of Reform California. He's talking about flipping seats in California. Help us fight back and take back California. Who do you think you're donating to?
I feel like I would be donating to a state candidate. Whether it's a local one, school board, or, you know, county supervisor or assembly or Senate. That's how that sounds to me.
Right.
I mean, knowing it's a state PAC, it's not Congress.
Right. But would you think that you're actually donating to the Carl DeMaio for Central Committee 2024?
No, and I think that 99.5% of people don't know what a central committee is and why they would be donating to it.
If contributing by check, please make check out to Carl DeMaio for Central Committee 2024. So he's using the Reform California name to promote his own candidacy. He's using the PAC's name and their legacy to promote his own independent candidacy as a candidate. When candidates and PACs are not supposed to be a wall between candidates and PACs, that they are not supposed to coordinate any of their efforts.
Right. Okay. So you called me and told me this 20 minutes before we hopped on here.
Yeah.
So I didn't have time to look into any of this. What this Republican Central Committee 2024, is there an ID number on this email anywhere?
No, I don't see it.
You need
an FPPC number, right?
Yes. I need to see this whole thing. I'm sorry, now that we're like doing this on here. Because here's what I'm looking for to explain to people. Is this actually going to reform California? Which then, how is he separating donations that go to Reform California versus donations that go to Carl DeMaio? Which again, that's why you're not supposed to mix them. But if it's going to the same ID number, and so if you, like, you and I are two separate people and you are like, I'm going to donate to Reform California. And I'm like, I want to donate to Carl DeMaio for Central Committee. And we each send a $50 check. How do we know that those $50 go to Reform California and then the other $50 go to Carl DeMaio for Central Committee? So that's why I want to know, what number, where does this go? Is there nothing in the email, no fine print, no...
The last thing in the email is the Honorable Carl DeMaio, Chairman of Reform California.
Wait, can you scroll up? I'm not saying that you missed something. I truly haven't looked at this before. Like, you literally called me and I was like, okay, do you have a copy of that email? And then that was the extent of that conversation. And so I am now perplexed. Okay. if you start to click on donating money, don't actually donate, but you know, like click on this. Now, isn't that illegal? Doesn't there have to be an ID number in this?
I thought every candidacy has to have an FPPC number if you're raising money for political purposes.
Right. And that was, I did ask you that question on text, and I don't think you actually understood my question. No offense. But we're not, what I was asking is, if you're running for central committee, do you start, is that something that you start an FPPC ID for? Like you have to, you know, we went through the process, obviously, of you start a campaign. You have to file all that, fill it all out, and you get your FPPC. Like, is that what you do when you're running for central committee? Does anyone in the comments know? I don't know anything about running for central committee and raising money on that. So that's why I think I asked you, I posed the question probably confusing when I was like, do you start an FPPC ID number or is it just personal funds? Like if I decide to run for a central committee, do I just be like, hey, people, can you help me raise money? And people could just write me checks and hope and trust that I use it. I doubt that's the case, but that's what I was asking you to clarify for me.
Yeah.
So there's no FPPC ID number on here. He's using Reform California to push himself.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a gray area. And that's what's confusing about it is that, and that's honestly what's confusing is that he puts this Reform California. Now, is Reform California in this logo his slogan? Or is it Reform California, the PAC that is supporting him? And again,
number.
Yeah. So it is a little confusing. It does get into this gray area of like, well, if you were someone who was donating, would you feel misled by this email?
I'm having flashbacks to 2021 when certain people were using misleading FPPC ID numbers to sell merchandise, and we got that shut down real fast.
Right. So, yeah, I was one of the first people I thought of, too, was if you're deceiving people into, well, if you're donating to this, you think you're donating to a campaign when it's really going into someone's pocket. Now, I'm not saying it's going into his personal pocket. Right. My issue bigger is that he is using Reform California and its cachet with his followers and his donors to.
So do you think? No, yeah, go on. Ahead. Sorry. Well, do you think he's now going to use the Transparency Foundation donations to look into his own Reform California text messages so that they're more transparent? So he's going to like pay. Do you think he'll pay himself to look into himself?
I definitely won't hold my breath on that.
Well, I feel like that's a great way to make the money. You just pay yourself to look at your own campaign.
Now, I do wonder if Carl DeMaio for Central Committee is going to use Capital Media.
Well, of course he is.
But doesn't that create...
Carl DeMaio has never done anything without using... Here's the... All FEC things we haven't gotten to, everybody. These are all ID numbers.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on. And there's a lot of, if you know, that what's the shell game where they move the thing around and like, if you follow these packs, they kind of like move money from one to another. Like you saw that they took money from Reform California and gave $45,000 to Reform Local Government pack. It's like, it kind of is this shell game where you keep moving money around. And Capital Media might be the biggest shell, because as long as you keep funneling money towards Capital Media, no one knows where the money goes and what it's being spent on. After that, it's private money and no one knows. You're just paying Capital Media.
By the way, I never look stupid. I'm like at my screen going, what? Like, I'm so sorry, everyone watching.
Camille's just everyone's finding this out for the first time.
Phil threw this at me just now.
So I mean, we're a little over an hour at this point. I feel like we've covered a good amount. I don't know if anyone has any questions in the chat if they'd like to ask us.
We've covered a fair amount, but there is so much we didn't get to. So much.
There is a fair amount. If anybody has any questions, I'm gonna put that in the chat. We'll try Someone said it's either going to go to Capital Media or it's going to go to Hale Media. Is Hale Media still around?
Hale Media is current, but he hasn't. I've been watching, and it seems like after he was kind of like scrutinized that first time, he's dropped it.
I mean, yeah, because
hey, wow.
I guess it looks more suspicious if you're paying out your husband's media company as opposed to your own media company. And again, allegedly, he has something to do with Capital Media. He may not own it, but he may have something to do with Capital Media. So they just all work in conjunction. It's just David McCullough is the president over here, and then he's also the president over here, and he's the CEO over here. So, you know, I didn't even get a chance to like break out my Carl DeMaio impression.
I did ask you to do that. I did that on the phone earlier, and I was like, please. Please do that.
Please do the Carl DeMaio if you could do Carl DeMaio's voice. If you haven't listened to Carl DeMaio, he's got a, let's just say, unique tenor to his voice for radio. So he likes to scream a lot, or he likes to act like he's screaming. And he gets like this like righteous, he does this like righteous indignation where he's like, well, the Democrats have this plan. And they're going to let the homeless shoot up. I'm sorry if that's not even close to what his voice sounds like.
I wasn't supposed to laugh.
All right. Let's see. I'm checking the chat. It's blowing up. Thanks to everyone who tuned in for this.
Listen later, for those that are listening to audio version later, like feel free to come back to YouTube and add a comment and maybe we'll check it. We'll try.
We'll do our best. Thanks to everyone in the chat who paid attention to this episode. There was a lot, and it's great that everyone kind of stuck in and followed us. I hope it made sense. We did our best. Like before we got on, it was definitely like you and I both kind of looked at each other and said, I hope we get through this as best as we can. But we're definitely going to do, I think we should do a follow up on this whole thing and kind of keep the pressure on and keep the fire on. Because the bigger lesson is that if there's all these red flags going on with people who are taking your money, bottom line, Democrat, Republican, independent, or whatever, if there's people taking your money and they're saying they're doing it for something and they're not doing it for something and it ends up looking like something else, that's a red flag and you should let people know. So if anybody who's listening or following this episode and you want to share it, definitely share it. Definitely let people know. The last thing I did want to share was this video, which was referred to us. It's actually pretty funny. It's from old Mayor Jerry Sanders. And this is him talking about Carl DeMaio. And this may be a good way to kind of like wrap up the entire show. So do. And I apologize because the only person who posted this video, the specific video, was Nathan Fletcher. So this is not an endorsement of Nathan Fletcher. Oh, and look who's behind him. Future Mayor Todd Gloria. That should be a whole nother episode. All right. Let's make sure the sound's on.
Carl takes credit on putting me on that. He probably takes credit for my weight loss, probably takes credit for the weeds I pulled in the backyard last week. It's all bullshit. He's never voted for a budget. Didn't vote for retiree health care savings. Didn't vote for any of those things because it might have muddied up his political calculations for mayor. I want to be very clear that one council member has to have doom and gloom in order to get elected to mayor, but I'm not buying into that, and I don't think the people in San Diego are either.
Well, oh, God. Oh, take that off screen.
Oh, take it off, my quick. Gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I had to expose all of you.
I'm assaulted right now.
Nathan Fletcher for mayor. Oh, God, could you imagine? I see Zach in the chat right now. He's probably dying right now, the idea of Nathan Fletcher.
He's blocking you.
I think that's a good way to end it. It's from what we've discussed and what we've found out, and again, this is our opinion. Most of a lot of the stuff what we're talking about is opinion based outside of the stuff that we showed. that you can go research yourself. You can go find all this stuff yourself on Secretary of State and other places. We didn't even get into the FEC and all the federal PAC stuff.
That's a whole episode.
There's a whole other shebang about what's going on. In my opinion, it does seem like, based on the actions of like Reform California and his PAC, he does sort of that's sort of his MO, is to take credit for stuff that he didn't really have anything to do with.
That is the common thing among these grifters.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Alleged.
Alleged grifters. We leave the... Whew, that was close. I almost felt an email with a cease and desist letter coming in right now. If there's any of Carl's attorneys watching this live stream right now, you can send all communications to CaliforniaUnderground@protonmail.com. Anyway, I'm lost. I'm just thinking about Carl DeMille's lawyers right now at 9:20 p.m. on a Tuesday night watching our little podcast. or just Carl DeMille pretending to be an attorney writing, "This is from the Honorable Carl DeMille. And you please stop saying I'm a grifter. Okay?" Signed, the Honorable Carl DeMille, Chairman of Reform California. Anyway, that's not what I was trying to end on. The point is, Carl DeMille has... Camille's lost it. She's lost it. She's absolutely lost it. Good night, everybody. That's how we end the show tonight.
Should be.
All right, I'm gonna get through this even though Camille's laughing.
I thought we were good. I thought we did well. And you're just gonna have to like edit this part.
It's too late. It's up on the live now, so anyway.
I've been quiet. You go ahead.
Sum up everything. The point is that it does seem like there is a pattern of Carl DeMille taking advantage of stuff that he didn't actually start or is running. And he does do a lot of piggybacking off bigger causes. And it's made quite the name for Reform California. And he's got quite the formula down. And I will tip my cap to him that he knows how to raise money.
Yes.
He's very good at raising money. The one thing that I think, because he knows he's good at raising money, he does have this air about him in San Diego that he can start to threaten people. And I think he has this cachet where he thinks, because he has so much money and he's sitting on $1 million in the bank that he doesn't spend anyway, so it's not like he's supporting you anyway. Or he could, I guess the air of him possibly supporting you is enough to threaten people and act like he pulls all the strings in San Diego County. So.
Dot, dot, dot.
That's sort of how he is down here in San Diego. He's become sort of that bully in San Diego politics who is known for threatening people. He knows that if he can raise money, I guess he feels like he has that power. I don't think that's the way to kind of build a coalition or build our party or help out the San Diego County Republicans. But with that said, I think that's basically his MO right now, is piggybacking off of all this stuff. And there's a lot of, I wouldn't say, you know, we're not going to say there's anything illegal going on. But we just spent almost an hour and 15 minutes going over a ton of red flags in the number of his different organizations. Would you say there are a lot of red flags that we went over, or just a couple red flags after all this? Now that you don't have the giggles anymore.
No, I'm not done. No, I think there's several red flags. And I mean, genuinely, that email, I was not aware of that email. Like you threw that on me in here. Like, I'm like, wait, what? That was another thing. And then, of course, as we keep saying, there's the FEC, which is, that's federal for people who don't know what I keep throwing out, FEC, that's federal. We've been talking about his state PAC, California state PAC, this entire time. There's many federal things and there's many red flags in there too. And so obviously knowing that, it's like, no, they're just building on each other. It's unfortunately, it's not a red wave. It's red flags.
Red flags. Major red flags. It's a red tsunami of red flags.
Yeah, it's definitely, for me, proceed with caution. Knowing what I know, would not donate to his campaign. I'm not saying people should not, but just knowing what I know, I would not.
Yeah. Do your due diligence at the end of the day. Anyway, that's it for tonight. I think we covered a lot of ground. I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts other than?
Nope.
You're now just thinking of Carl DeMille's lawyers staying up until 9:30 watching our podcast, which if you are, thanks for the views. We appreciate it very much. All right. So if you like this podcast, make sure to share it with at least one person. That's the best way to support this podcast. And it's the best free way to support this podcast is just by sharing it with somebody else and saying, hey, this is a really good podcast. This specific episode was really great. You should definitely check it out. And make sure you subscribe, like, share, review, all of that stuff. Hit the notification bell on YouTube. We're on Rumble now. We're everywhere. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, throw out a name, we're there. iHeart, Amazon, Podbean, whatever. I don't know. They're all there. So check us out. And with that, have a good night, everybody.